kick off hour number three of the program, Thursday edition, Three and Out. Appreciate you joining us. Go back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines, 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. We got Matthew on the horn. What's up, Matthew? You're on Three and Out.
Hey, guys. Happy week. Happy Thursday.
What are, Thursday. Yeah.
Thursday, yeah.
It's Thursday. It's hard for me to keep up, too, given the way the week went.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, I wanted to just kind of, it's been too long, but we talked basketball, and I guess the Josiah news, it just felt right to call in and ask, you know, not a good thing, not a bad thing, but I thought y'all's comment, or at least on Davey, making the comment about the point guard lack of depth was kind of key because, I mean, you know, we knew last year we had a point guard, not a problem, but a point guard depth issue. And it feels like on this team we still have that issue. And so at least Barnes is putting a Band-Aid on it because even if Josiah had not came back this year, the plan is just moving forward to use Freddie DeLeon to back up Sakai and Meshack. And so I don't really know, like, what are y'all's thoughts on those three bringing the ball up the court?
Don't know anything about Freddie.
I think the basketball team could operate fine with those guys handling the basketball. That's not really a problem. But it seems like the way Rick Barnes' early offense, you know, operates – and the style of play he wants to run on offense, it's at its best when you have a dynamic point guard that can really drive and put pressure on the defense and get to the elbow to try and make post entry and get the offense started with the defense out of position. And I just don't know that any of those guys outside of Zakai are that type of point guard. So, I mean, I would hope that they would kind of tweak the offense a little bit to fit some of those other types of ball handlers, but they've never done that before, so that's where I get kind of frustrated.
No, I understand completely. It's definitely a weird style of offense with Barnes because even in years past where we've had more talented guards, he's loved to play through, you know, that perimeter post player, and last year you saw that with being Olivia Conwa, and he was just so inept on offense that, you know, versus guys like Texas, he'd have 20-point games, and then versus, like, Kentucky, where he goes, you know, 2 of 12, and it's just like the offense, like, if it's weird, you know, Jordan Moore and I talked about it, but like Santi's best year was under Kennedy Chandler statistically.
Yep.
Did y'all know that?
Yeah, he's better when he can play off ball and, you know, create, and then we have a point guard who, especially a point guard who can attack. I mean, forgive the old adage, but drive, draw, and dish, and then that gives Santi the ability to shoot the open three, or, you know, the patented pump fake, and then he's going in to create and then either getting the ball back to Kennedy or a rotating post. Like, it opens up so much more flow in the offense when you have a point guard who can attack.
I never thought I'd say this, but I'm actually really excited to see what Meshack looks like in what I guess would be his third year here.
Yeah,
he actually had some pretty good games last year. Like, he's a quiet scorer, if that makes sense. I can't remember one of those games after Zakai went down. You look up and he had 12 or 13, 6-7 assists. I think he only had a couple of turnovers. Like, I think he's a solid player, and that was kind of being forced into that role.
He can get to the rim anytime he wants to. I think what held him back a little bit last year was his lack of confidence in his free throw shot, especially.
He's a little
in close
hesitant.
Games.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to see, you know, Nate mentioned about attacking the basket, and it felt like of those three guys I mentioned, both Meshack, not named Sakai, but Meshack, Freddie DeLeon, and Josiah, I mean, Meshack's probably your most likely guy to attack the basket because who knows what Josiah you're getting back. Are you getting the one that's, you know, saying his knee's hurting this game and then is out that game? And then, I mean, Freddie DeLeon's a question mark. We don't know because all we've seen is film, so we don't really know. So of those guys to attack the basket, it feels like Meshack's your guy.
He's definitely got the size and speed to do it. I feel like his ball handling was pretty good. It can improve a little bit. And if he does that, you know, gets a little bit more comfortable, he could be that guy. I mean, the guy can soar through the air. I mean, he can finish at the rim. I agree with Hickman. I think there were times where he got caught in the middle of, do I want to just try to dunk this? or draw some contact, give it up a little too early. As long as he can stay under control, he's got the tools.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I guess we'll all have to wait and see with what we do at the position. I think from a depth perspective, this is probably the deepest team Barnes has had, and I never thought I'd say that because I said that last year, but, you know, here we are. I'll give you guys back some time. I did have a question I was talking about on a separate subject here, and we were talking about guys like, you know, that Ryan Matthews five-star and, you know, that linebacker Wingo and looking at the season. I asked my buddy, I said, if we get another 10 wins, and I'll hang up on this, if we get another 10 wins this year, guys, Tennessee football back. Thanks, guys.
I think you can say it with 9 wins.
What?
Well, okay.
What?
I mean, I think we're all kind of expecting a little bit of a step back this year anyways. You win 9 games, 10 with the bowl with Milton. Then you transition into Nico. I mean, we're a couple of commits away from absolutely blowing the doors off of recruiting in the class of 24. I think most of all fans know, like Josh Heupel, like at least in my opinion, Josh Heupel's tenure here is going to come down to what does he do with Nico, his sophomore and junior year. And so I think you win 9 games. I think with the way we're trending here in recruiting, you're just waiting for it to blow up in a good way.
I think it depends on how the season goes. Like, what are the 9? How do the games go?
He already dropped it a game. He has said 10. I think if you win 10, you are back because that means.
Well, he said 9. I'm just.
Yeah, that means the next year you are competing for the SEC championship and you're definitely in the playoff conversation.
Is that fair to say, though, if we win 10 with Milton, we're competing for the SEC championship the next year with a different quarterback?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I do.
I mean, I'm not doubting Nico. I haven't seen it.
I mean, if the system's working that well for Hooker and Milton,
That's true.
I think, you know, you got one of the top 5 stars in the country, not to mention other there would be other guys in the mix by that point.
Merklinger.
Get some dudes on defense and roll.
Well, that's been a pleasant surprise, really, is some of the guys you have gotten on defense. Mm-hmm. Got all those corners in last year's class. You're in on a lot of defensive linemen and linebackers in this class.
Yeah.
Not to mention you got Rodney Garner, so I feel like even if D-line is a little underwhelming on paper, like he's going to get the most out of them.
Yeah.
And he took a dollar general manager and turned him into one of the best.
Third round pick
to the Rams, I believe.
Not bad.
But, I mean, some of these guys, like, what's the 4-star defensive end where – I don't know if we got crystal balled for him, but he's trending towards us. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I really want the linebacker, Sammy Brown. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I liked that we got a visit from him and that it went really well. I hated that we were the first of his 5 visits.
Yeah.
And the other ones are like, you know, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Southern Cal, stuff like that. Mm. But that's okay. Maybe you can make a good first impression and hold on.
I kind of think that actually helps you. How many times have we got a visit out of a 5-star who's signed somewhere else or was a heavy lean somewhere else? And, yeah, you know, he loved it here, but – you know, that trip he had in Athens, Georgia, you know, like that was the first one. He was a heavy lean there his entire recruiting process. You just couldn't do enough late. Seems like that's happened a lot to us lately. You always remember your first.
Thanks, Adam.
Yep.
That's good stuff, man.
Nothing like
it's really good.
The way Adam Hickman can put things sometimes, you know.
So eloquent.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll come back with
more. Yeah, we will.
Stick with us. Hour 3 continues next on 3 and Out. And like a big fish in the pond, no more. You were what they're feeding on. So what are you going to do when the world don't orbit around you? Hour 3 continues. NCAA Baseball Regional Eve. set for the Clemson Regional tomorrow. We have to play the late game.
6 o'clock.
Game one.
On ESPNU.
ESPNU?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, it's later. It's not like...
It's actually a really good time for a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree.
Should be over by 8:30. Won't do anything after.
8:39, yeah.
You got time.
Love having that time.
Although I feel like the games will really start to drag this time of year.
Think so?
Even with the pitch clock, there's going to be a lot of reviews. And
you think so?
The coaches will use all those, what, 5 mound visits they get.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of reviews.
Probably. What is the postseason?
A lot of emotional players, a lot of hits, people just jacked up on adrenaline.
Mm.
That it'll be fun to watch, though, especially like with all the ties you have to Charlotte as a team. Cam Fisher's their best player. He's the Harden Valley kid who's hit 30 home runs. And, of course, you got the Andrew Lindsay storyline as well. And they're a good team, too. Did I read this correctly? I don't know if you guys can think back this far. The year we went to Omaha, didn't they beat us 9-0?
That sounds right, and I couldn't remember if it was Charlotte or not.
And then we won like 15 straight after that or something like that.
What year was that? 20...
2020?
21? Is it 21 or 20?
It's 21, I guess, because 20 was the year they canceled it for COVID.
Right.
Which kind of hurts because Tony said that was his best team ever.
Yeah, that hurt bad.
Yep, they beat us 9-0. Wait, we played them in Charlotte? Why did we do that?
Eh, weird.
Maybe Andrew Lindsay was pitching.
They play a bunch of different parks in Charlotte. Hayes Stadium, Truist. There's another one I saw on this list. Interesting. I guess Hayes is their home stadium.
Hayes.
Willie Mays Hayes.
You might run like Hayes.
Hey, hey, hey.
Willie Mays Hayes. I know who that is.
Oh, we're arguing with people on Twitter now? Really, Hickman?
That version's better. I don't know.
Why do you like that one better?
I don't know. It's just kind of a little. It's got more groove to it, if that makes sense. You know.
Okay.
I love it. That's one of my favorite songs ever. The slowed down version of "Ain't It Fun" by Paramore. Mm-hmm. Look it up, or just listen to the show. Look it up.
Lady Vols today take on Alabama at noon. Softball, regional.
Uh huh.
It's not the regional.
No, it's not. It's not even the Super. It's the College World Series.
College
what am
World
I
Series,
doing?
Yeah.
You even a fan of the softball team, bro?
I actually watched their last game, and you didn't, so...
I watched that highlight.
Okay. Well, that counts.
It's all right.
Who are we pitching today, Hickman?
Probably that one gal.
Dynamite stuff.
What's her name? No. If somebody would just give me the first letter of her name, I'll know it. Oh, Ashley Rogers.
She's pitching today?
Are you sure?
I don't know. She's our ace, isn't she? Which women can...
I don't know. I feel like we have a couple.
They can pitch a lot, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember when we had Abbott and it was just like, yep, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. It'll be Monica Abbott again. It's like she just threw 146 pitches. Yep, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they throw so many more pitches than dudes?
Because it's underhand.
I know,
easier
but like,
on the arm.
How does it equate to throwing that many more? Like, that's a lot.
It's less wear and tear on the arm.
Your arm is meant, like the shoulder's built to do that. It's not built to do this.
I feel like there's never 150 pitches thrown in a college baseball game, like all total.
I might have over-exaggerated that number, but I feel like there were a couple times where it's like in her last 3 games and the last 4 days, she's thrown 200 and something pitches.
We got a freshman pitcher that's really good, too, I believe. I don't remember her name. And then there's Euros' girlfriend.
And she has a name, too.
Malloy, Kiki.
Kiki Malloy, yeah, yep. Probably should have been National Player of the Year.
Yeah,
wasn't.
She's filthy.
That's rather a rude way of saying it.
You have Carlin Pickens. And
yeah.
Peyton.
The Pickens Gottschall. Girl. I always see people tweeting about her.
They pitched against Alabama last time.
What's our record this year against Alabama? These are the important questions.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out who's, you know, who's starting, but I don't see it anywhere. It's their fifth matchup this season.
We took the season series against Alabama 2-1 with a 5-1 win, a 4-2 loss, and a 7-5 win. I'm 99% sure we played them again in the – yes. We beat them 7-6 in the SEC tournament. So it seems like it's been a – I mean, we've taken 3 out of the 4 games, but it seems like they've all been fairly close.
Their coach said they double-dipped in the SEC. They won the regular season and the tournament, so they're the favorite. They're the favorite in this game. We're the underdogs big time. I feel like we're like the little engine that could.
Oh, boy, here we go. Poor us. Woe is me.
Yeah, Ashley Rogers was the SEC pitcher of the year.
It's pretty good.
She's 18-1 with a season ERA of .75. Only one team scored more than 2 earned runs on Rogers in an outing this season. That team was Alabama.
How did I know you were going to say that?
But she did effectively shut them down in the first meeting between the two teams, only allowing 1 run on 3 hits over 7 innings.
3 hits over 7 innings in the first matchup?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Crimson Tide catcher Allie Shipman played at Tennessee for 3 seasons before transferring to Alabama.
Traitor!
Shipman said Rogers is one of the only people left at Tennessee that she played with and is close with. I know she's close with her because those two are at a pitching lesson beside my daughter.
Yeah.
Right when COVID killed the season.
And she didn't get to use her new helmet.
84 years ago. Yeah. The staff also features senior Peyton Gottschall, I don't know how to say that, and SEC Freshman of the Year, Carlin Pickens.
See, told you she was good.
Or Carolyn Pickens, I don't know how to say that.
Carlin?
It's definitely Carolyn.
It's K-A-R-L-Y-N.
K-A-R.
Could be Carlin. Carolyn? Carlin?
It's not Carolyn, right?
Well, no, I didn't know. Carolyn. I wasn't looking at the spelling.
Carlin.
I thought you said Carolyn.
Maybe the K's silent.
Arlen.
Aria. In the last meeting between Alabama and Tennessee in the SEC tournament, Pickens gave up 4 runs in the first inning without recording an out. Gottschall was able to get the Lady Vols back on track, only allowing 2 runs on an Ashley Prange home run over 7 innings of relief work, but Alabama was able to put up runs on both pitchers in the regular season. Anyway. On the Alabama side, in the circle, the Tennessee series was the only series this season that Crimson Tide ace Montana Fouts had multiple rough outings against the same opponent. The Lady Vols put up 5 runs on Fouts in both of her starts. Disappointed with her performance that weekend, Fouts seemed to switch into another gear after that series. She did not allow an earned run in 5 of her next 6 starts and threw 7 complete game shutouts during the final stretch of the season.
That's first team all name right there.
Montana Fouts.
Pretty cool name.
I thought she was hurt the last time they played. Am I crazy?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe she's back.
Is it the same format as the men's tournament now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So half the bracket in a group of 4. It's basically like a regional. It's like 2 regionals together, and the winners will play in a best of 3.
So if we win and they win, it's Oklahoma?
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Alabama's going to be a different
team
tomorrow.
They're pretty good.
This was yesterday, obviously, than they were last time we faced them, said Karen Weekly. That's the Tennessee coach, if you don't know. We're a different team than last time we faced them. They've done a great job of treating each day as a new, recognizing even if that is a team, as somebody we face, they're going to be a new and different this time. Good Lord.
That was wordy in a weird way.
I feel like whoever wrote that left some words out or something. Surely shouldn't say it that way. Tennessee's having one of its best in program history, yada, yada, yada. And talks about Alabama trying to spoil it because they're the little engine that could.
That's right. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So are you – how you feeling? Nervous? What are you giggling at, sir?
Nothing.
I find that hard to believe, but okay.
Nervous about a softball game.
Hickman, like, just because you don't care about something doesn't mean that other people don't. Like it's a big, this is a College World Series. Mm-hmm. We've made it a bunch and never won it. Feels like we got a chance. We're one of like two teams that people think could actually knock off Oklahoma.
Well, it kind of sucks, though, that you're going to have to play them if you beat Bama.
Well, you'd have to play them anyway.
Yeah,
most likely.
Better to play them in the championship game.
Hmm. So Fouts has had a hyperextended knee, but apparently she's back, and she pitched all three games in their regional last week. Super regional.
She plays for Bama?
Yeah. Won two of them and helped send Alabama to the Women's College World Series.
Excellent.
So, should be a battle. Noon today? ESPN?
Noon.
All right.
Is it ESPN? That's cool.
I think so, yeah.
I think it is.
Or two. You know, ESPN two.
The ESPN family of networks. We'll come back with more.
Good stuff, Hickman.
Next.
Appreciate it, man.
Hour 3 continues Thursday edition of the program. If you missed any portion, check out the podcast. Hour 1 is now up. I think it dropped after Hour 2. Had a tech issue there.
Yeah, Techman over there.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything I could to get the issue resolved.
Which was told Nate to do it.
No, Nate took that upon himself. Oh, thank you, Nate.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy.
I'm glad someone did something. Chris just sat there and just, why didn't upload, Hickman?
That's not what I said.
You said, what are you doing?
I said, what are you doing? I was curious. You were panicked.
I wasn't panicked.
You were. You were frazzled.
I mean, I wouldn't have lost any sleep over it, but it is very annoying when stuff doesn't upload.
That's because we lost enough sleep yesterday.
That is true.
Sheesh. The things we do. Mm-hmm. You just laugh it off like nothing happened.
What do you mean?
No, we get it. It's fine.
No, I'm proud of you boys. Came through yesterday.
We're out in the field taking grenades, John. Peter Pan. Mm. Count Chocula.
And we never got that ice cream.
We had to backtrack to get it. Mm. We still had another stop to make.
Sad. I need to buy you boys ice cream today.
We didn't even get dinner on the way home, man. We were hustling to work.
That's when you got Bucky's.
Before the sunset.
On the way home.
We got Bucky's on the way there. Down.
Oh, man, that was the problem.
What are you talking about? We had to.
You were sluggish.
No, we had.
Surely he was. You're all this crappy eight.
Yeah.
Imagine how much faster you'd have worked.
I did get a chocolate.
I knew better.
I did get a double chocolate chip muffin from a gas station that I had high hopes for.
Well, that's where I have the highest of hopes for muffins, is the gas station.
It was the worst double chocolate chip muffin I've ever had. So, you know, like,
you eat a lot of double chocolate chip muffins?
He's a connoisseur.
Weigel's has a pretty good one, and so does Casey's. But you know what they look like, obviously. They're just black.
Mm-hmm. Because it's double chocolate.
Dark brown, yeah. Black. Yeah.
And so when I ate it,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like it tasted differently than it looked, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, it looks like a double chocolate chip muffin, but the flavor profile. Honestly, kind of just had the flavor profile of just a traditional chocolate chip muffin, not the double chocolate chip muffin.
So you're saying they skimped you on the chocolate?
Possibly.
Well, that's a tragedy.
It was pretty bad.
Are you okay? You doing all right?
And then, consequently, it ruined the taste of my cream soda for the first few sips, too.
Yikes. Are you okay now?
Yeah. I'm very hungry. I still didn't even eat dinner last night. I just went to bed.
Hey, you know that Wingstop's open though.
Oh, that's going to be clutch. Mm-hmm. We need to hear the thoughts on that, because I love Wingstop.
I the fries. The fries were amazing.
The fries are good.
That's a positive.
And I DoorDashed report. It, so there were all these different options. I didn't know which way to go. I was like, well, let's just keep it simple. So I just went with the regular amount of normal, whatever they call the regular seasoning. But they apparently you can do Cajun or all kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The fries were delicious.
That's the best way to learn a menu, though, is DoorDash it
mm-hmm.
or just, like, start an online order. But if you're going, just don't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to learn a menu?
Yeah.
Digitally. The kids these days.
What kind of wings did you get?
I just got the regular buffalo. Mm. They were good.
Did they come pre-sauced?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, blue cheese was the way to go.
I went blue cheese.
See, I like sauce on the side. Sometimes they don't put enough sauce on them, and sometimes they put too much, and they get kind of soggy.
I think you're just too picky.
They have all kinds of different stuff, though. I'm going to have to eat there a lot and try all the different ways, you know?
Well, instead of getting six one flavor, six of another, you get 12 wings, get three sauces, pick your favorite sauce.
I couldn't figure out how to get the DoorDash order to go through because it kept saying more selections required.
Oh, yeah.
And because it said choose one. I got the medium size like combo, right? So you get eight wings.
Yeah.
And it said you could have up to two flavors. So I picked one flavor. And it wouldn't let me, like, add to cart. So then I picked a second flavor.
Yep.
Thinking, oh, maybe you have to pick two flavors. Maybe you could pick the same flavor twice if you want to. So I tried two different flavors. Wouldn't do it. I put a two next to the same flavor. Wouldn't do it. And I realized in the menu, it was asking you what flavor you want on each individual wing. I don't know that it would have let you necessarily order, or if they would have done the order correctly if you'd have picked eight different flavors for eight wings. Probably not.
I mean, I don't want to knock those people. They might have been able to do it, but
that's what I had to click the plus sign and get to eight wings, and it was like, then the little, instead of save for options button, it switched to add to cart because I'd picked all the required options, which, like, as I mentioned, there are a bunch with the seasoned fries and the Cajun or non-Cajun. You could have more seasoning, less seasoning, regular amount of seasoning. It's pretty tricky.
Tricky?
Mm-hmm.
Confused you that did it?
Well, I definitely didn't think I was going to have to put in eight wings, like hit the plus sign to go to eight. Because normally it's like, you know, pick your one flavor or pick your two flavors if you have a big enough order. Usually you're just picking like this one and that one. But it had these little plus minus signs beside it, and I thought that was just for
That's odd.
Yeah. Wonder what they'd have done if I didn't eight different flavors for eight wings.
Those poor cooks. Yeah, wings sound pretty good.
It's 9:42, Aikman.
I can't cheat though today. I had
you cheated enough yesterday for the rest of the week.
Month.
I've got 9 calories to spare from now until Monday.
Do you think Tennessee's going to roll Ashley Rogers today against Alabama, or do you try and save her for Oklahoma? Or do you just go with
I think you got to win. Yeah, pitch her both. Oklahoma will be tomorrow if you win, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, late game tomorrow.
It's single elimination right now, correct?
No, Hickman. It's double elimination.
Huh.
The baseball and softball brackets are really simple. You play a regional, which is a 4-team double elimination. Then you play a super, which is best 2 out of 3. Then you go to Omaha, or in this case, Oklahoma City, and you play. And basically, it's just like two regionals at the same site. It's 4-team double elimination, and then the winners of those two play another best 2 out of 3.
Mm.
So essentially, you go 4-team double, 2 out of 3. 4-team double, 2 out of 3, win the national championship.
I'd like to win the national
clean
championship.
Clean and simple.
What if we go the sweep with the baseball sports of winning natties?
That'd be pretty awesome. Cool. I'd be down with that.
Probably never been done before.
Actually, Houston, you make a great point.
Tell me about
it. If you win today, the winners' games aren't until the 3rd, so not tomorrow.
So if you win today, you do get a day off.
Yeah.
That could be huge. So, yeah, you got a pitcher today.
Just pitch your best pitcher all the way through. And then if she struggles, you go to somebody else, I guess.
It's a special happy birthday today.
To?
The state of Tennessee.
Mm.
How old are we?
227. Whew. That's old.
We are old. Not bad. I'm glad we made it this long.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Huge.
Man, Philip Fulmer. So you're going to watch the softball game or what?
I might. If I get a minute.
I might keep an eye on it. There.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good.
Tell my daughter she'll be fired up about it a bit. She's been following along. All right, we'll come back. Final segment of the program next. Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Packing the wind, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up. Honk, you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up. Final segment of the program. Think Lady Vols get done today?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
They're ready.
They've been playing pretty well.
We double dipped.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Anything else from spring meetings or anything? I keep seeing the media guys putting it out. It's trending towards an 8-game schedule.
It will be because they're a bunch of cowards. Afraid of change.
Heupel said he thought that spring ball for Tennessee was physical. It was as competitive as they've had. He did say they have a long way to go. But.
Well, that's not good. Why do we have so long to go?
I think it's just coach speak. I think just keep them motivated.
Have you ever heard a coach come out and say, we had a terrible spring practice?
Nope. Never.
They weren't physical.
Guess what else they asked him about?
What?
Gambling problems in college athletics.
I'm sure they asked everybody about that.
Jeez.
Well, who?
Well, there was more on that gambling story, right? There was that coach that got the Alabama coach in trouble, and they were
The Cincinnati coach.
No. That high school guy got both the Alabama coach and Cincinnati. Like he was the he was, I think, connected to both of them.
And then there was another coach. Who was it? It wasn't Kirk Ferentz, but some coach got asked, like, are there any players currently suspended from your team due to gambling reasons? And he was like, I can't talk about that.
Mm.
But I can't remember who that was.
He pled the fifth.
I don't blame him.
They asked Heupel if rules should be loosened to allow players to bet on certain things. Heupel said, I don't think that's the direction that we want to head.
No.
At least let them fill out a basketball bracket. Come on.
Yeah, maybe bet on some horses or something.
Non-human sports, you can gamble on that. Dogs, horses,
cockfighting,
like that's illegal anyway.
You can still gamble on it.
Not legal.
You ever been to Del Rio?
I have been to Del Rio. Is that what they're known for up there?
Oh yeah, that and.
So the big topics of conversation were gambling, the tampering in the transfer portal, and storming the fields.
What do you say about storming the fields?
Nah, he said, I think the dialogue around how do we keep fans and players and staff safe is a real one. We need to navigate that space. I think there's a two-edged sword on that side of it. You try to stop everybody from storming the field, there's a safety issue there too. So how do we keep everybody safe before the game, during the game, after the game? Certainly. I think the pageantry, the passion that is college football is also what makes it college football. It's a unique endeavor and the greatest sport, in my opinion. So navigating that space the right way is really important. So he said nothing.
What is the – I mean, do you say like, all right, fans, you have to wait 3 minutes until after the game to storm the field, let everybody get off. Okay, now you can storm.
Kind of ruins the moment a little
bit.
Yeah,
I know. It's supposed to be
just
like a
– being spontaneous and just saying
right.
We're going for it.
I don't disagree.
I feel like maybe instead of trying to circle the field and keep fans in the stands, maybe just have some personnel in those areas to make sure if anyone falls or gets injured trying to get on the field that you can assist with that. But maybe use all that manpower
to get
to
team,
block the visiting team. Like basically block off an area from their sideline to their locker room.
Yeah.
Because I don't think fans care. I mean, fans don't care about bothering the visiting team. They're just delirious with you know, we won the game.
I mean, there's always a few that are going to run up and be like, ah.
But, I mean, they're mainly trying to make it to just onto the field.
Right, right, right.
So why not just defend a smaller space, right? Instead of trying to keep fans off the entire field, let's just keep fans.
Put a barrier up between, like, the visiting sideline.
Well, you know how at the Open Championship, as it finishes, they'll actually, like, put a complete row of, like, police officers.
Yeah.
And they'll walk down the fairway, and fans from that were back behind the tee box can actually come, like, halfway down the fairway to watch the final putts on the green from, like, you know, 150 yards away. Why not kind of do that around the visiting team and just get them off the field? You do it around the home team too if you want. That way home team players can leave the field if they want, or if they want to participate, then that's just at their own risk. But why not just block off areas from the sideline to the tunnel, you know, in each way? That way the officials can get off the field, the players can get off the field. And then, I mean, fans that storm the field that get hurt, like, they made that choice, you know. It's not like they just were at the game and all of a sudden somebody, like, you know, made them go down onto the field.
Right.
So if a fan gets, I mean, let's use some common sense, but if a fan, like, trips and falls and sprains their ankle at the, you know, in the end zone as they're trying to run out on the field, like, that's on them.
Yeah, but people will sue over anything these days.
We storm in the field if we beat Georgia.
If we're undefeated, we are.
You know, I, like,
because it's later in the year this year, isn't it?
Or if they're,
it's
undefeated.
Like our second to last game of the year.
Yeah, it's right before Vandy. So yeah, if you win that, you're probably going to Atlanta. So you're storming the field again.
Yeah, that'd be. I mean, it'd be worth it, really. But
Heupel said that we only had 65 scholarship players when he started here in the fall, and a lot of those guys were transfers and. We're closer to a full roster at this point. We have guys that have been in our system all
closer.
Years. Yeah, closer.
It's about to blow up, I'm telling you. Probably means nothing.
Well, we're still dealing with the, you know, limitations.
That's true.
Could even have another shoe drop on that soon.
Is that this month?
I don't know.
The number one recruit in the nation was at a On3 event in Nashville yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Did you see this name?
Wearing a Tennessee hoodie.
Yikes.
Look good in it.
Yeah.
He should wear it more often. Maybe issue it to him as team gear.
Brute would just give it to him. Violation.
And then we'd be right back where we are now. Again.
They asked him about the schedule. He wouldn't answer that question either. So.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
He's just smart with his words. That's all.
That's it. That's our guy right there. Smart with his words. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio. The Blitz is next.